You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, family? Thank you for tuning in to the Dream Nation podcast. My name is Casanova. I'll be your host, and I'm excited to be bringing to you entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and trailblazers from around the world. Stay locked in with us because we're about to go on a journey that will change your life.
What's up, Dream Builder? We are back again with another episode. And today I am grateful, I'm honored, and I'm excited to be bringing to you my brother, Mr. Ryan Nicewinder. Ryan, you want to go ahead and say what's up to Dream Nation?
Hey, Dream Nation, what's up? I'm super pumped to be here. I think dreams are kind of what makes it possible, right? Like, we have to be able to shoot for something, and excited to be able to share some of my stories. And thanks so much, Casanova, for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I first learned about your story from one of my team members. They brought it to me, and I thought it was just phenomenal. The fact that you are a Paralympic gold medalist in itself just shows how much you have been determined and how much adversity that you've had to go through. But at the same time, you've came out on the other side. So I think that you're a super inspiration. The way that I always love to get into people's stories is I compare us as entrepreneurs, thought leaders, change makers to superheroes. And the reason being is because we're constantly flying around the world, we're putting on our cape, and we're trying to solve some of the world's biggest problems. And that doesn't mean that you have to physically fly, because now we know that Zoom still allows us to be all around the world. But the question that I have for you is, a lot of the times when we see, even if we saw you on TV, right, the Paralympics, we saw you win this gold medal, we see you as a superhero, the Superman. But a lot of the times when you ask someone behind the scenes of Superman, they can't really describe who that Clark Kent is. So my question to you is, when it comes to Ryan Nicewinder, tell us, who is that Clark Kent?
I think one of the biggest things, and I love that you brought this up, the superhero, Superman kind of mentality, is I believe that we all have our own superpowers, right? And when we look at Ryan Nicewinder, what is that superpower? I think growing up, my disability was something that I shied away from. You know, when I went to the grocery store, when I was in public, I just hoped that no one even like recognized. And the biggest compliment someone could give teenage Ryan would be, you know, I don't even notice that you have a disability. Like, you're just overcoming it so well, I don't even notice you have it. And it wasn't until I embraced like who I was to my fullest self and accepted the reality that, yeah, I have a disability, but like, that's what makes me unique. That's what makes me a differentiator compared to someone else. And that's what people remember. When I go speak, when I go talk at different organizations, they may say like, someone will say Ryan Nicewinder, and they'll be like, Ryan Nicewinder, and they're like, oh yeah, the guy that was in a wheelchair, or the guy that had, he walked a little differently than someone else, and they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember him, and I remember what he said. And I just think that in that realm, and then also the places that my disability has taken me, I mean, the Paralympic gold medal, traveling the world, playing professionally in Hamburg, Germany, I think when I reflect on all of that, I say to myself, my superpower is my disability. It's the differentiator. And when I finally embraced who I was able to reach my untapped potential, to unlock that last third of my capabilities, and really to thrive in any environment that I put myself in, because I'm confident, I'm capable, and I'm walking in with my full self.
I love it. Now, just for a little bit of background on it, can you explain to us what exactly, you know, is your disability, and at what age did, you know, you get diagnosed with this, or were you born with it?
Yeah, great question. I love when people ask this because I think disability is who I am. And so I was born with a disability called congenital distal spinal muscular atrophy. And there will be a quiz at the end of the show, so you got to remember that. But basically, to break it down, congenital means at birth, distal means the lower part of our body, spinal means our spine, and then muscular atrophy means the deterioration of my muscles. And so for me, my motor signal doesn't send from my spine to my quadriceps. And your quadricep is the muscle, when you lock your leg out, you're flexing your quadricep. So for me, when I go to stand, I can't bear that weight and I would collapse. So a lot of times I'll use an everyday chair that helps me get from point A to point B. I say everyday chair because I also have a basketball chair that looks very different, and that's like sports specific. But I also use leg braces to walk. I can walk shorter distances. If I'm going to a mall or an airport or something like that, I'm going to take my chair, just more efficient. But around the house, if I'm just driving to the grocery store, I'll use my braces to get around. So sometimes you'll see me standing, sometimes you'll see me walking. But congenital distal spinal muscular atrophy is what I have. And I've had it my whole life. So your body adapts and you adjust and you overcome.
Yeah. So talk to me about, as you were growing up, and obviously you have this disability, but you're learning that it is a part of who you are and you can't get over that. At what age did you decide that, hey, I can still play sports? Because that's another thing. We all, as a kid, we all have a love for sports, right? But even the people who don't have any disabilities, they struggle with playing sports. So at what age were you like, hey, I'm enough and I can still be a great sports player, especially in my favorite game of basketball?
When I was growing up, around like 6 or 7 years old, my parents were an athletic family and they wanted me to have access to sport. And so I was playing t-ball, where I'd like hit the ball really far and then it would take me a while to get to first base, where maybe someone would have gotten to second or third base. I was the goalkeeper when you were playing like soccer, and it was good until the net got too big, and then like obviously I can't jump, so I struggled there. And I always just felt like my mind knew what it wanted to do, and I knew that I could, but my body just had the limitation that I couldn't do that. And when I was 8 years old, my parents found a newspaper article in one of the local papers that had an advertisement for a wheelchair basketball clinic that was happening about an hour from where we lived. And so they decided that it would be a good idea for at least to try it. Like, why not go try? It can't hurt. And for me, the first time I hopped in a wheelchair, it was like my mind could do, my body could do what my mind had always been telling me it wanted to do. And that word that comes to mind is freedom. Like, I felt free. I felt like for the first time, like, the world understood me. It understood who I was, what I was capable of. And that sparked the jolt and the passion for wheelchair basketball. And I don't want to diminish this fact either. Like, I've now grown up and met so many people that they're still trying to find that passion, right? That passion that they want to wake up every day and they're excited to live life because they have something that they want to pursue. And I was super fortunate at 8 years old to find that passion. And not that we can't have multiple passions, but that's the first time that I remember that. And then when I knew that I was going to be good, was there's this concept of, like, when someone believes in you, you can do far more than you ever thought was possible. Mm-hmm. Someone when I was 12 years old came up to me after practice, and it was someone that had success in wheelchair basketball and had coached at some of the elite levels. And he came up to me and he said to me, I see potential in you, and I think that you could really go somewhere in this game. And as a 12-year-old, that's all I needed, was someone else to see where I could go. To want to wake up early in the morning and get into the gym, to want to spend my weekends, maybe not hanging out with friends as much, but going to tournaments, going to practices that were 2.5 hours away. I was willing to sacrifice because someone believed in me, and then I believed that it was possible. And that's powerful. And I think that what we need to realize as individuals is we can speak life into people. We can help people reach their untapped potential just by vocalizing something that you see in them. And I love that. So that's something that I've always held really close to me. And as an athlete, I think that that was one of the catalysts to me ultimately being a Paralympic gold medalist.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, because obviously when you're young and you don't know how to inspire yourself, you don't know how to get that motivation. You're just kind of going through the motions. And me, I think that, you know, obviously I shared with you that I did go through childhood cancer and it was pretty severe. So I know that, you know, mentally it's very draining on you, especially when you're just like you said, your mind wants to do things that your body just physically can't, whether that means you're sick or, you know, whatever it might be. So my question to you is, how were you able to start to, what do I want to say, mold your mind at a young age to understand that, like, you can continuously get up and live a great life, even though you might not have, you know, all the extremities that everyone else does?
One thing that really helped me was, like, I'm one of one. And I think that we all are kind of one of one. We're unique individuals. And so the person that puts limits or defines what we're able to do is us. And my parents really showed me early on that they weren't going to treat me any differently because I had a disability. We were just going to figure out, like, how does it work for Ryan? Like, what, it's not that it's impossible. It's just, it may look a little different. And I think too many people look at someone that may have childhood cancer or have a disability, or I could go on and on and on. And we put limits on them without even asking, without even seeing, you know, can, like, maybe they can do that, but it would look a little different than the, I hate to even say this, like the typical person, like whatever that is in our world.
Right.
And so I think for me, it was not going in with preconceived notions of like what I can and can't do, but putting myself in vulnerable positions where I might fail, but coming out on the other side, I would be better off because I've learned and I've grown and I've adapted and I've overcome and now I can complete that task. So it was just a mindset switch that allowed me to attack life head on.
Yeah, now you said a lot. And I guess my question is, though, Ed, it's easy, in just my opinion, I think that it's easy to say these things now. But when you're young and when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you don't really know who you are, right? I mean, your brain's only been forming for 120 months at 10. Yeah. So it's like, as a young age, was there anything, was it just your parents that, you know, always spoke life into you and saying, hey, don't put those limitations on yourself, right? Or was it, hey, me finding a tribe early on, that someone was able to mentor me and they had a disability as well, so I saw that it was possible? What did that look like for your journey?
Two things come to mind. The first one is I was a part of a wheelchair basketball team called the Bennett Blazers, and they've pumped out now multiple Paralympians. And so the part of you saying, like, did you see someone that was, like, doing it, it helped you, like, they were the proof point to, like, that it was possible for me? The answer is absolutely yes. Surround yourself with people that are further along the journey and learn from them and pick their brains and then figure out what's best for you, what's best for what's going to mold and shape you into the individual that you want to be. So that's one. And the second one, and I don't know how healthy this is, but I just wanted to prove people wrong. Like, as a, whether I was 8 or 9 years old, like, I just wanted, like, when people thought that I couldn't do something, I was, like, so badly, I just wanted to show them that, what are you talking about? I'm normal. Like I said, I didn't want to embrace my disability per se. But I think that gave me an edge. I was, like, edgy when I was young. And I would, like, try things that maybe a typical 8, 9-year-old wouldn't even try or put themselves in that environment, because I wanted to prove that I can. And that was really important for me, because I proved it and I believed it. And then I saw other people on my team and on the teams that were ahead of me doing it, and all those things kind of built up to, I would say, how I decided to overcome those things early on in life.
Yeah, man, I love it. I'm glad that you said that. And yeah, I think both of those are key factors in anyone's life, right? And you got to have a little bit of that moxie, right? Because everybody's mm-hmm. always going to put their limiting beliefs on you. It doesn't matter if it's about business, if it's about sports, if it's about your height, whatever it might be. So I'm glad that you said that. What point did it become a real goal for you to try to make the Paralympics, right? Rather than just doing it recreationally or a little bit, like, when were you like, listen, I really think one day I'm going to hoist up a gold medal?
More recently, I had a college athlete that I mentor. He was like, after we won, he shot me a message and he's like, would you ever have imagined you'd be sitting here with like a gold medal? And I answered I think he was wanting me to, he set it up for me to say like, no, never in a million years. But I answered that. I was like, yeah, I do. And I did. And I think it was around 14 or 15 when I started to get into high school. I had this poster up in my room and it had the date of the under 23 team, the United States under 23 men's national team. It had the tryout date and it said,
you have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go for it. And I put it on my ceiling. So every morning that I woke up, the first thing that I saw was that date and what I needed to do that day to be ready for that moment. And early on, those were the things that drove me. And also success. I found success really early on. But around 14 or 15, it was that when I was 12, someone spoke potential into me. And then 14 or 15, I really saw like and started to have some success. And then I'm someone that I believe like be ready for the moment because you never know when it's going to come or happen. And 2012 was the London Games. And after 2012, they won bronze, but a new coaching regime came in. And it was like they were bringing in a plethora of athletes that were going to have an opportunity to try to make the 2013 national team. And the coach just happened to be he's the coach of the Missouri Tigers, University of Missouri's team. And he was recruiting me. So he knew me. He had saw my game before and invited me to come try out. And I took advantage of the moment. So I believe right place, right time, but then you have to be ready for that moment. And you can't play catch up ball. And that's the whole thing about like creating disciplines now that allow you to not have to prepare for the moment when you get the call, but you're ready for the moment when you get the call. And that's when I was able to make my first national team as a senior in high school. So I would say freshman year was when I really started setting those goals and putting that poster up on my in my room on the ceiling. But I was right place, right time. That also helped. And then being ready for that moment.
Yeah, there's so much that I want to unpack there. My mind is going crazy. So, you know, the beautiful thing about what I just heard and the first thing is, you're never us. We all get so caught into thinking that our world only revolves around us. We're never thinking like that. You know, there's people across the world that are preparing for the Paralympics, right? To make a national team and all that emotion there. Like no one ever thinks about those things, right? Where you're like, cause you're thinking, and I'm thinking everybody's going to this hotel, right? And And you have all of obviously your equipment and everything else, but we just don't think that way. And it's like, if you just stop and you think about the world is so much bigger than you, it's absolutely fascinating and phenomenal. The second thing that comes to my mind, and just out of curiosity, so like when you say I'm starting to have success with it, what does success look like when it comes to Paralympic basketball? Like because obviously, you know, in success, and when we're talking, and I don't want to say it either, but like what people say is the typical basketball game, right? You got to be able to dribble. You got to be, but height also matters a ton in there, right? Because how big you are, can you dunk? So what does that look like in the Paralympic game? Like, how, do you ever see somebody and you're like, wow, that kid is special?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that comes to mind is height still matters. And it might even matter more in wheelchair basketball because there is no jumping, right? Like you can tilt up on one wheel, but your height is your height. But then I would also say speed is so crucial. The game is so fast. Mm-hmm. And when I see someone in high school now that has like the speed, the quickness, the court awareness, to me, that's when I'm like, he's special. Like I can teach him the rest, but he's got things that other people don't. And I want to invest in him. And that's been something that's been really important to me. I've reached the pinnacle of my sport, and now I want to give back to that next generation. And I'm picking and choosing wisely, but I'm speaking the potential that I see in them to them so that they can believe it's possible and put that time and effort in so that we have generational change in our game and we continue to, I leave it better than when I found it. So I would say speed, height is huge, but if you don't have speed and court awareness, height is limited. Okay. And so those would be the things that come to mind. And those were the things that stood out for me. I'm really quick. I have great court awareness and I can shoot the ball. I'm 5'1". To put it in perspective, I'm 5'1".
Okay.
So I am not tall. I am not going to be like posting anyone up. I'm going to beat you by being a good distributor, being a good creator, knocking down open shots and playing great defense.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And again, this is something you mentioned before the show is talking about education, right? And I love this from the sense that this is the first time I'm ever having a conversation about wheelchair basketball. But luckily for me, I'm having it with someone who, just like you said, is at the top, the pinnacle of the sport. So I feel like I'm learning. My mind's like, wow, that is absolutely fascinating. So when you talk about working, like how much do you have to focus on shooting versus are you constantly just kind of in the gym, weight rooms? Because obviously when you talk about speed, your arms matter quite a bit. What does that look like? What's your normal routine look like for working out?
Well, to break it down in its simplest form, yes, we're using a lot more upper body than lower body. That is absolutely true. But the training looks very similar to stand-up basketball. Shooting is very important. You need to make sure that you're in the gym, that you're getting your shots up. And then the way that they would work on footwork, we would call it chair skills, where how are you moving your chair? Can you move it quick? Can you change directions? Practicing your vocal communication. It's so interesting that, and I was just talking with someone I work at Visa, and I was just talking to someone in the corporate world, and you know, humility looks good on everyone. And there's times where like you get beat in the game of basketball. Like you just get, the guy takes you to the rack. But if you don't say anything and you just let that person go and score, that's the worst mistake that you can make. But if I call for help, if I ask for assistance, I'm going to have a teammate come in, slide over. I'm going to be able to recover and we're going to be able to play great defense still. But it takes a level of humility to say like, I'm beat and I need help. And that's a great characteristic that is transferable in corporate America, as an entrepreneur, in any facet of life is, you know, I need some assistance here. I'm a little over my head in an area and I need to lean in on, and can you impart some wisdom on me? Can you teach me this? I need to learn this. And it's a curious mind and a humble heart.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Is going to allow you to go really far in life.
I love that. At what point, like, so now that you've reached the pinnacle, what does the next chapter look like for you? You've talked about giving back, but for you, as you, what is your mission that you're on now?
Well, two things. I'm going to go for 2024.
Okay.
I feel like I have more left to give to the game.
All right.
So that's first and foremost, is I've got one more in me, and I want to be able to make even a deeper impact.
And do you work out every day?
Every day.
Every day. How many shots do you shoot a day?
Anywhere from 300 to 500 shots.
Wow.
And then I'm getting lifts in, and then I work a full-time job, and then I get to hang out with my beautiful wife. Faith, family, basketball, work. Those are the things that fuel me. And my mission is to help people reach their untapped potential. I believe in life that most people operate in 2/3 of their potential. And that final third is what makes everyone unique. It's the differentiator. And most people never get into that final third because they don't embrace who they are to the fullest of their being. And when we do that in a work environment, when we do that on the court, when we do that with our team, with our families, individuals, communities, if we would all reach into that final third, it would be amazing to see like the impact and the ripple effect that would happen in this country and this world. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it in underrepresented communities finally like stepping up and being heard. Not finally, they've been doing it for a long time. But when we, like every tribe and every nation is coming together, that's when we can make the most beautiful music. And so for me, my mission is to help people reach their untapped potential, and doing that through sharing stories at the pinnacle of my career to illustrate strategies on how to do that.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true that most people are operating only in that 2/3. They don't push themselves. They don't have a tribe. They don't have the support, the encouragement, the challenge. But let me ask, what's the first step? Because you say, hey, I want to help people to start to operate in that, you know, differentiator, which is that 1/3. What is the first step? Like, is it just self-care? Is it acknowledgement? What does that look like in your world?
Yeah. And the last thing that I would say to the point that you made before is that it is drive, you know, it is to have that motivation to be able to do it, but it's also on like us to be able to create environments that encourage it. I think a lot of people are told like to just operate kind of as a robot and stay like, be like mainstream, like everyone else, don't stand out, just do the job, get paid, go on with your day. And There's a couple things that come to mind, but for like, how do we control it ourselves? I think it starts with like acute self-awareness. Self-awareness to understand and be able to take time to reflect on the day-to-day of what, like who we are and areas maybe where we could double click into further to explore more. It takes reflection. Like a lot of people don't even know what that last third is. I was fortunate enough, I have like a visible disability and I recognized it pretty early on and was able to accept that. But I think everybody has a differentiator. It just takes reflection, self-awareness, and an environment that encourages it to be able to have that bubble up and bubble over and influence like not just you, but the people around you.
Yeah. Where do you go? Because it seems like obviously you've gained a lot of wisdom in your years, and it feels like you've given yourself a lot of grace and patience, which is what I think a lot of people struggle with, right? They struggle with that feeling like that they're not already a superhero, even though internally they feel like they are. They're just not producing it. My question to you is, where do you look for your inspiration from? Is it books? Is it podcasts? Is it, you know, have you, you know, joined Tony Robbins coaching programs? What does that look like for your journey?
It's a little bit of everything. I think podcasts are great. Love listening to podcasts because everybody has a story and a different experience. And so when you get to like listen to that, you're just gaining more life experience. Same thing with books. History shows us like what has happened, and a lot of things repeat themselves. And so if we're able to read and tap into the 1900s, the 1800s, even like, I mean, I was only born in 94. So even in the mid 90s, like I'm able to tap into a place that I never even lived in, yet I can learn from. And so I think that that's really powerful. I think the second thing is like questions, ask people questions. Everybody loves to talk about themselves. And I love to hear about other people and their stories, because everything that I'm sharing with you is something that I've learned along my journey from someone else. And it pieces together my story of who influenced me to where I am today. I think it's super critical that we surround ourselves with people that make us our best self. And I'm someone in my work environment, in my life environment, I am going to surround myself with people that I respect, that I see lead in a way that I want to emulate. And then I pick their brain nonstop. And I don't do it in like an annoying way. I'm just very, like, I'm never going to waste someone's time. Time is critical. It's limited. And I want to maximize that time. So those are a couple things that come to mind. And then the final thing that I would just say is like, for me, faith is super important. And when my foundation is secure, then I'm comfortable like going and maximizing who I am without worrying about like, ooh, did that person like me? Did that person not like me? Like, did I impress that person? Did I not impress that person? I'm just able to live in like the mission and the calling that I feel like I have. And it allows me to live freely and be authentic. And that's contagious. I love like when you can tell immediately when someone is authentic, and it's like, naturally, the whole room just gravitates towards them. I want to be that person.
I love it. I love it, man. It's definitely inspiration, I think, to everybody who's watching or listening at this. And there's so much truth in it. You talked about having stories, right? And so my question, and one thing is, I want to make sure that you educated me on something, and we want to educate the listeners that, you know, when a lot of people ask you, sometimes they might say Olympics, right? But then you educated me. And do you want to go ahead and I guess, educate the world as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The Olympic and Paralympic Games, as we were talking about earlier on, before we hopped on the show, was they're parallel. And like both athletes put in extreme effort and years of dedication to master their crafts. But they happen at different times. So the Olympics happen like in Tokyo, they happened 2 weeks before the Paralympics. And if you think that I'm an Olympian and you're like, oh, I want to go watch Ryan Nicewander compete, and you go to watch the Olympics, you're going to be 2 weeks early and you're going to miss out on that opportunity. And so just being able to use the correct terminology that I'm a Paralympic gold medalist, that I'm a Paralympian, it allows people to become familiar with a word that maybe they haven't heard very much. And it seems simple, but then when they've said it, they've heard it, they use it, then when they see it on the TV guide, when they see it in advertisements, when they see it in their day-to-day life, they know exactly what it is and they know the differentiator between the two, but they also know the commonalities that both share. And so that's just one thing that I think it's important to educate, and educate in a way where it's like, I mean, we talked about it. You did an amazing job, like changing, like saying everything with the Paralympics instead of the Olympics. And I just think that it's a conversation that can be had that doesn't need to be like, you need to do this and stop doing this. But it's just like, hey, this is something that's really important to me. And now you know, and now you'll be able to go educate others. So I really, it's something near and dear to my heart. It's super simple. But everybody that's listening to this show, I think it's a good educational piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Talk to me about what, when you become a Olympic gold medalist, which is something that 99% of us will never experience, no matter what it is, right? What are some of the perks or the benefits that you get? Like after you won it, so you were working so hard, like, I'm going to get this, and you got it. And then it's like, what do you get then? What is like the most fascinating things that you love?
Before I go to the fascinating things that I love, because like there has been definitely shifts and platforms that have opened up because of it. I heard a quote and it said, if you weren't good enough before you were a Paralympic gold medalist, you will never be good enough when you become a Paralympic gold medalist. And that just like, it gives me chills and it rings so true in my life, is that whether I'm a Paralympic gold medalist or not, I'm still Ryan Nicewinder.
Right.
And I'm still the same person that has the same disciplines and could have this same conversation with you. But what it does is it opens up the platforms and opportunities to influence more. And that's what I've seen. I've seen the opportunity to be interviewed, to speak life into other people, potential into other people, and to just bring awareness to the Paralympics. Your question about like, what have I received? It's amazing. My coach started coaching wheelchair basketball, the coach of the national team, in 1992. And there was an article that he just spoke on that at that time, they were paying their own way to the games. They were paying for their food, their flight, their jerseys, their gear, everything. Now, fast forward from 1992 to 2020, 2021, and everything's covered. We get the same prize money for winning a gold medal as an Olympic athlete. I'm getting sponsorships from corporate and Fortune 500 companies, and people want to hear me speak, and I'm on more news stations than I can count. And all that's to say nothing about me, but it's about like the world is primed for the Paralympic movement to just grow. And I'm just thankful that I'm along for the journey, and I can look back at 8-year-old Ryan, and I can look now and I can say, wow, like I had to find out through a newspaper article. I know of newspaper articles. I hope people do find out through some of the articles that were written, but I hope that like they're watching TV and they're just like, yeah, the Paralympics. Like I know what that is. And, the guy down the street should go, like, we're going to go tell his parents that like we saw this and he should go try it because he has a physical disability and he'd be great for it. Like I want it to become so mainstream that it's not like this hidden, I can't believe we found this golden nugget in this like clipping on a newspaper article. So I want more of Ryan Nicewinders to have the experience, the 8-year-old experience that I had and the freedom that I felt.
It's phenomenal, man. I'm sure if you keep going on your journey, which I have no doubt that you will, there's going to be many and many hundreds of thousands of other kids, mm-hmm. both boys and girls, that will look at you as an inspiration. This is definitely one that I'm super proud to be on this show with you. One last question that I have, or before I go, before I go into that last question, so do you get like, is there like a fraternity? I've always wondered this. Is there like a fraternity of like Olympic gold medalists? Like they bring everybody together once a year, so like you could be there, and then Kevin Durant's over there, or am I crazy?
No, they definitely do things like that. So like we'll go visit the president of the United States at some point. I think they're waiting until, because the Olympics and Paralympic Games for the summer and winter are so close due to the postponement. I think they're going to do both together. But we'll all get together there, which will be cool. There's an Olympic and Paralympic museum in Colorado Springs that just launched.
Okay.
And they put on a ton of events, and there's like artifacts and gold medals from like every games that you can go see. Our team's in there. So that's really cool. And then I would just say that the one thing that I'd really love to do and bridge the gap in is like the NBA, and we have like what's called the NWBA.
Okay.
We don't have a ton of synergies there. And I just think that like as the Paralympic and Olympic movement like grow and become bigger collectively, I'd love to bridge that gap where, you know, the Kevin Durants are meeting the Ryan Nicewenders and other people on my team, and Team USA for the Olympics and Paralympics are just having more of those bonds. So I wouldn't say that we're having those get-togethers all the time yet, but I think there's more to come with that. And we've just had great, like Toyota has been an awesome sponsor. Visa has been a great sponsor. Samsung sent us like an a Galaxy S21, I think it's called. And they sent us a laptop that I'm using today. So we've gotten a lot of cool like perks and memorabilia. And man, our game has come so far, and we have so much to still do. But there's a moment where you can just sit back and be grateful for what you have, and then keep pursuing for more for the next generation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I always just wondered that, like, where would you count yourself as far as a shooter in your league? Like, are you one of the better shooters? I know you said your speed and your court vision. Are you one of the better shooters in your league?
Yeah, absolutely. And league meaning the NWBA.
Yeah.
I play for the Charlotte Rolling Hornets.
Right.
So we're not like affiliated with the NBA team yet, but we have like similar names. And yeah, I'm one of the better sharpshooters in the league. The beautiful part about Team USA, and it's very similar to the stand-up team, is we just have so much talent that like you pass up a good shot for a great shot, and you get layups and you get fast break points. And so we don't necessarily have someone that scores 30 points a game. It can happen, and that's great when it happens, but we're at our best when we're balanced. When you see like 10 points, 8 points, 8 points, 8 points, 6 points, that's like we're throwing waves at you, and you don't know who to stop, because like you guard that guy and the next guy hits. You guard the next guy, like everybody's just on. That's our staple, and we throw waves at people that by the fourth quarter, our goal is that they just put the ball down because they don't want to play against us anymore.
No, that's super, super dope, man. So the last question I have on this, and then we're going to move on. If you had to battle one-on-one, you versus – you were number 7, so we're going to use Kevin Durant, right? You were number seven. You think you could outshoot him, shooting contest?
Oh, come on. Absolutely. Oh. I would welcome the challenge. I know. Kevin Durant is a special talent.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect for how well he shoots. I would welcome the challenge because – I'll never, A, back down from a challenge, and B, I think that we need to do more of those things in our sports to mend that gap. So bring it on. I'd love to see it. But he's a special talent. I mean, he's one of the greatest shooters to ever do it. I have so much respect for him. But we would have fun with it, for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully one day soon, we'll be able to have him on the show, and then I'll make sure I bring it up. But it might be a little bit easier to probably go get Melo or Gordon Hayward or something like that, since they're right there in
Miles Bridges.
Miles Bridges.
They've got a good squad right now.
They got a really good squad, but I'm saying like the shooter, like I don't know. Would
Miles, he's getting better. He's getting better. Yep.
Cool. Scary Terry. I mean,
Terry Rozier. He's good too. They've got a squad. I like watching them. They're fun.
For sure. No, man, this is definitely, like I said, this has been a great conversation. Last question that I have for you is I always ask people if they could go back, if they would change anything. And what I've learned is a lot of people say they wouldn't change anything because, you know, it made them who they are, which I understand and respect. But I also call a little bit of BS because I say, listen, we would all change something if we could go back. Like for me, I would never lose my mom. Right. But it does, again, reveal character, make you who you are, makes you stronger. But I've learned to phrase this in a different way. And the way that I phrase it now is, if there was one thing that you wish that you would have implemented sooner to accelerate your path on your journey and your dream to where you are today, what would that one thing be?
I think just embracing who I was earlier. I think it took me a while to do that. And I just vividly remember, like, the story that comes to my mind is just, like, going to the grocery store. And, you know, kids don't know any better, but, like, there's a kid sitting in the grocery cart and the mom's pushing it and I'm walking or pushing in my chair and they'll say something like, "Mom, why does he, like, walk that way?" Or, like, "Why is he in a wheelchair?" And for me, I just did not embrace who I was. And that was, like I would walk down, like, a different aisle, like, growing up, because, like, I just didn't want to face that. And, like, two things come to my mind in that. One is that if that's happening and you're a parent, like, don't shush your kid, but educate them. And if you aren't educated enough to educate them, then that's, like, a great opportunity for you to learn and to educate and learn how to have those conversations so that it becomes normal to your kid. But I think for me, to answer your question, I wish I would have embraced who I was earlier, because that doesn't bother me anymore. And it allows me to be so confident in who I am and use that superpower that we talked at the very beginning of the show to my best of my ability. It's the differentiator and it's what makes me who I am. And if I could have done that earlier, now granted, like, I was young and I was trying to figure, like, everybody when they're young and they're that middle school kid are trying to figure out who they were. But to answer your question, I think the earlier that we recognize what makes us unique and different and we embrace that, the quicker we will be able to make a deeper impact with that special gift in this world.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. My brother, as I said, this has been a phenomenal conversation, and mm-hmm. I want to be the first one, if no one else has told you, to say thank you and I appreciate you. You've dropped so much wisdom and you shared so much insight on something that a lot of us are uneducated on. And I'm very, very proud to have had this conversation with you. We will make sure that we put all of the links in the show notes to awesome. Your website and everything that you have going on. But for anybody who would like to stay directly plugged in and connected with you, tell us, where can they find you at?
Yeah, Instagram at Ryan_NiceWonder. My website's a great place to go to because it sends an email directly to my agent and we're able to connect really quickly. But I love being able to speak and share, and I just appreciate, like, you reaching out. It's fun. It's fun to conversate. I learn as much from you as you do from me. And this show inspires me to go out and dream and to go out and bridge the gap for other people. And I'm just, it's a privilege. It's been so fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, Dream Nation, just as he said, it was all about action. You know, every step of the way, he continued to take action, because if you don't, that dream that you have, and we all have a dream, it will only merely be a fantasy. That's all for this one. We'll catch you on the next one. That's all we got for this episode. Thank you for sticking around. That truly means a lot to me, and hopefully that means that we delivered massive value on this one. If you haven't already, the way that you could say thank you to myself and the team is just by heading over to iTunes and leaving a review and a rating. That's what iTunes loves to see. That's how we get out there even more. And I would definitely be grateful for it. I know the team would as well. Do me a favor and head on over to dreamnationpodcast.com. That's where you're going to be able to find all of the resources that we talked about in today's episode, as well as more exclusive content. And you'll also be able to sign up to our email list, where we have more exclusive content. And we always love to hear the feedback from you all, because you're our tribe. So remember, in the dream we trust. We'll see you on the flip side.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.